Now it's time to be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist, Joey Bia's research grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. I spend so much time on the water. I use many types of watercraft. Canoes, kayaks, john boats, and rowboats. For you, you have to figure out, well, what's the function for you? Is it fishing, birding, filming? Because we do quite a bit filming, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a bit. Nature, hey, for your nature lovers, perfect way to be out there. Family and friends and fun. And that last one is many people, I mean, they have their things they do. They go fishing with their friends, but it's always family, friends, and fun. So we'll talk about that as well. For me, they all serve different purposes. Usually, most of them for me are leisure time activities, but sometimes we film Joey B TV from them. In regard to cost, they can vary so drastically. You can get a kayak for $200 or another for $1,900. So the answer to your question is, well, did you want a Cadillac? Did you want a Volkswagen? And then can you afford it? And one of my good friends, Jim, he and his wife have done something great throughout. Anytime that they want something, so here's a little way to learn how to not go over budget. Anytime they've wanted something in life, and I'll just say it's a large screen TV, not for us nature lovers, of course, they would actually have a separate bank account, and they would just keep putting money in that account. When they had enough money in that account, they would then go buy so they never owed. And I think that's a pretty neat deal. So, hey, if you want to make an investment on one of these different types of watercraft, maybe that's your next adventure is a savings adventure. Today, I'm going to share with you the various uses of each so you can be better prepared to purchase or rent. And yes, I said rent because you can rent all of them. I would suggest if you've never, say you're going kayaking or interested in kayaking, I would suggest renting a kayak, getting out there, learning, actually sometimes even renting different types of kayaks, and then making your purchase from there. And many people will rent when they are vacationing. And because I travel so much across the country, it's easier for me to rent a kayak in Salt Lake City than it is to put one. They really don't stow well over, you know, in the overhead compartment on the in the airplanes. Well, if you're going to purchase something, I've got the perfect place for you because this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. So let's start with canoes, and I've got a great story for you. So I'm out in Minnesota doing my wolf research because many of you know that I am an environmental scientist, and the easiest way for us to track the wolves, because wolves swim very, very well, and they would also walk on eutrophic lakes. Now, think about a eutrophic lake. Imagine that your pool is covered, or your pool is actually filled with Jell-O, and there's a covering on it, and you're walking on it, and it's almost like your legs are bouncing up and down. Well, over the thousands of years, plants have actually grown out across the tops of some lakes. And some of these lakes are glaciated lakes, which are hundreds of feet deep. Well, the wolves can easily walk on top of them. Well, guys like us, research scientists, we're going to walk on it. And it's like walking on Jell-O, I swear. And if you break through, you'd get dead. And I hear getting dead is not a good thing, so we make sure that we tread lightly. Well, as we're hiking along, we're going to go from maybe a eutrophic lake to an open lake or swamp that a wolf has gone through. So we need to portage canoes. Me, part of my workout is like, okay, I got the canoe. Well, one of the days I got a canoe on my shoulder and I am portaging, looking at the scientist in front of me and just following along because you can't see where anyone else is going because you have a canoe on your head. Well, one of the scientists happens to stop and they stop. And a yellow jacket nest was happened to be right below where I was standing. And the yellow jackets were coming up. They were going between a space between my back and my backpack. And they were stinging. I'm excited about this. They were stinging the heck out of me. And I'm just going, help someone please up. Because, hey, I couldn't run, break through, get dead. couldn't drop the canoe, breakthrough. Many of us get dead. So I'm just going to help. Someone help. Someone please help. Please, please, please help. So I realized that I was like Charlie Brown's mother. When you know, somebody, you always hear her going, wah, 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 wah. Because I had a canoe on my head. That's what I was talking. And one scientist turns around and goes, oh, my goodness, look, he's getting stung. Well, then they helped me get the canoe off and get the bees out. Not a fun experience, but hey, you know something? I don't want to get stung like that because think about this. Joey B is allergic to bees, yes. So, and actually, I was not allergic to bees till I got stung that day like 40 or 50 times. So, but the way I look at life is, yeah, it's just part of life out there and part of being a scientist. Now, canoes, if you're using them, they are great for carrying gear. So on that same wolf research, one of the wolves swam out to an island in Great Lakes, Lake Superior. And I would then transport gear back and forth from mainland to island scientists that way. But I'm going to let you know that if you happen to be a camper, canoes are great for carrying gear. And a lot of people will actually do, growing up, we did a lot of, down the Delaware River, we did a lot of canoe camping going down there. So this is something for you to think about. It's also the perfect size watercraft for two people. So if you're interested in two people, some people do lots of fishing from it, and I'll get into that. And our family, we've got a 17-footer. My great friend, Dr. Bob, has a 17-foot old aluminum Grumman canoe. Great. And I've used these 17-footers many times for solo trips as well. Just getting out. Hey, sometimes just getting out there for a paddle, and then sometimes, you know, doing some of the research or, like I told you before, family fun. Now, on my friend Nancy Nolte's farm, you probably know the name because Nick Nolte, the actor, is her brother. Well, we've been up there. We've got a canoe up there at our service, and we just flip it over. If there's not a, believe it or not, that many times there is, if there's not a little hornet's nest going on, of which, think about this. I'm the guy who's still allergic, and I'm the guy who typically has to get rid of them. Well, we go out there, and we use the canoe. It is a great way to go fishing. And many times, because if you don't know this, a canoe actually has a back seat to it. And I'm the guy in the back seat because, again, I can go up there anytime. So I take family and friends, and I will actually be their fishing guide on humongous pond. So it's not quite a lake, but it's a large pond. Monster bass up there. So I will actually take people out. My good buddy Tony caught the largest bass he ever caught there. My nephew Dylan, largest bass. And the cool thing is I was guiding him, telling him, okay, you should be using this lure and you should be casting here. So a pretty neat thing. But because it's a 17-footer, it gives you just, it's a great mobile watercraft. Now, funny story on there. Take two of my good friends up there, Coach Benya, Coach Harb, early spring, and they're out there in a canoe. I'm just fishing from the dock and fishing from shore, enjoying myself, letting them get the experience. Well, they go down the other side, and it was probably late March, and it was a real warm late March day, maybe beginning of April, and I hear a splash, and I look down there, and they flip over, and all their fishing gear is floating on the water, and so are they, and the good swimmers, and the canoe upside down, and they have to come out. Well, I'm going to let you know, the negative to being in a canoe is when two people lean the same way. So when you're the back guy, you need to be aware of the front guy or gal, and you need to make sure that you're not both leaning the same way. So one of them got into a fish and leaned over, and the other guy leaned over to help him, and then they both went swimming with the fish. So I'm going to tell you right now that that's probably not the thing to do. But again, it's also how we learn. So moving on to another watercraft, how about rowboats? If you are into a great workout, you need to get a rowboat. You need to learn how to maneuver using two oars. Otherwise, you will just simply keep going in circles. And then you need to factor in the cost for quality oars and quality oar locks. Well, in the Adirondacks many years ago, one of my friends has a log cabin, a beautiful log cabin up there. And I would just go out, morning workout, get out there and go. And if you live on a lake or you're going to rent a house on a lake, rowboats are perfect for family fun because they're safe, because they're big and buoyant. And I'll get into safety in a little bit. And the good thing about, like, if you're on a lake, is you don't have to portage or transport something. This is perfect because rowboats can be very heavy, very cumbersome. Another place we used to stay on, one of the camps we owned, was Oneida Lake, which was one of the finger lakes to Lake Ontario. I would take out many of the coaches after camp, and a lot of them wanted to go fishing. Again, doing a little guiding, but I didn't know this area so well. But I was, again, fishing is my passion, if you don't know that. When I get in the outdoors, I am always taking a fly rod with me. And again, if I'm with someone else, it might be a spin rod, or we're filming any rod in the history of the world, whatever we're filming. Well, I took out one of the coaches who is very brilliant at the game, but not so agile. So the rowboat was the perfect mode of transportation, because I could have grabbed kayaks with them, but I figured that this would be the way to go. So just giving that, you know, you may have some friends that aren't so athletic, and you're saying, okay, so perfect mode of transportation. As long as you know how to steer and are willing to row, the rowboat works. Now, this is the perfect time to discuss safety. PFDs, your personal flotation device. That is your life jacket, your life vest. Because we give it, everything's got to have this up and snappy name. Well, I'm going to let you know, it doesn't matter whether we are in skinny water or heavy water. Skinny water means water that's ankle deep, or heavy water. My PFD is on all the time. And again, I keep mentioning this to you, but we film in the outdoors quite often. And you know, we'll get out and we'll just be walking around, and my PFD stays on all the time. Cool but sad fact, the average type of person who drowns in the water happens to be a swimmer, because when their watercraft, specifically rowboats, bigger boats, John boats, when they flip over, if you get hit in the head, you get knocked out. So if your PFD is not on, so I just have it on all the time. I also recommend, when you're going to make a purchase of these, try them on the store. Make sure they fit properly. You know, you get the professional to help you out. And then if you're going to make a purchase, or you're going to use it, let's just say you're going to use it for a kayak, put it on, go sit in a few different types of kayaks. And the store owners always allow you to do this. Sit in a canoe, especially ones that have seats that have like back seats that go to them. And make sure the PFD matches up well with the watercraft you're going to use, so there's comfort in it, because many days you're in it all day long. So before I go to my favorite mode of aquatic transpiration. See, I'm thinking about trees and transpiration. I'm looking outside my studio. There's a beautiful 150-year-old oak here. So I will get away from transpiration, and I will go to aquatic transportation. My favorite, the kayak. But hey, let's talk John boats first. Best with a story, as usual. Hey, did you ever notice by now that on Joey B Outdoors, I tell lots of stories? Well, my great friends, Tony and Steve, father and son, they've got a John boat, and they get access to a private lake, Lake Lenape, every year. We do some great bass fishing on there. And I'm going to let you know that I also do some great birding while I'm on this trip as well, because birds and me, perfect together. Well, I'm going to let you know that when we go out there, we're having the greatest time. An electric motor, nice and calm, great conversation, very stable. And I like want you to know, just like the rowboat, very stable to be in. And the cost that you have to think about on this is electric motor, the battery. You also need a trailer, or if you have a smaller John boat, you can get it on your roof racks. And you're going to need one or two paddles just in case that battery dies. So you need to make sure that you've got those. Go back to my friend Jim and his wife and what they do as far as saving money. There is an extra cost in this. And I took out one of my good friends who used to work for me at one of the camps. And we were in, I guess we were in Lake Champlain. I had to figure out where I was, because I keep moving so much, I don't even know what. I know where I am today. Yeah, that's a good thing. Now, he had never gone smallmouth fishing at night. And I'm going to recommend to you, if you've never gone out, and you need to be safe and PFDs and all this, and always let people know. My friend Diane, who was the director of the Red Cross, always says, and I love this, when you are leaving your house, especially solo, you always leave a note in your kitchen as to where you're going and be specific as possible. And if you're doing solo and you've got your vehicle somewhere and you're going to go hiking trail, best to leave a note in the truck saying, hey, I want to trail, you know, the Blue Trail, the Diamond Trail, whatever it is. so that in case there needs to be some type of rescue, people know where you're at. Well, I had taken my friend Steve. We went nighttime smallmouth fishing. And I am going to let you know that if you've never been out at night, it is, again, perfectly quiet. We had an electric motor on this one. You shut it off, or if you're in a rowboat, you paddle, and you just listen to the sounds. And many times, it's the night sounds of birds. Many times, it's the night sounds of fish jumping out of the water. Well, if you're nighttime fishing with hula poppers out there, and you're just hearing a bloop, bloop, and all of a sudden you hear this monstrous crash, you just got a lantern in the boat, and that's the only light. And people from shore can see you a great distance with that lantern, so that helps with safety too. Well, you just need to be mosquitoed up. And, I wear full-length clothing, pants, long-sleeve shirts. I always wear a long-sleeve hat. And then I sort of, take care of the face and neck and hands, and you're good. So because mosquitoes can be not so good a friend out there. But I'm going to let you know that being out there at night, but being safe is one of my favorite things out there. Now, I saved my favorite leisure activity till now. So let's talk kayaks. We have a family fleet. Here at the Joey B compound, I don't know, we've got four here, two down in Delaware, my friend Bob's house, my sister's house. I don't know, what do we have up there? We got the canoe and maybe three or four kayaks up there. So yes, we do have a fleet. So if it's family fun, we're taking them out. And if we're filming, because, hey, if I'm filming, I actually have to put my crew inside kayaks. At one time, we were filming going from island to island in the Sedge Islands, and we had to have the crew and load up the gear and keep moving from place to place, and they are good. Now, if you're going to purchase kayaks, I'm going to let you know that many of the outdoor stores rent them, and at the end of the season, so I'm going to say, yeah, and you have to keep track with these stores, many times I'll say it's closer to November. It depends on where you live in the country as to how cold it is. But they actually will sell off their fleets, and they're all half price. And I'm going to tell you, kayaks made of plastic, there's not much you can do to beat them up. Most times you're buying a kayak at half price, and they will sell the paddles and PFDs also half price. And you got a bunch of scratches in the kayak. Eastern Mountain Sports, when we made our first initial purchase into kayaks, that's where we got half of our fleet right there. Now, one of my good friends, he likes to upgrade every year. He buys a new something or something, and he keeps upgrading his kayaks. And I get his kayaks hand-me-downs for half price, so that one works for me. And there are some kayak companies, I know it's probably built into the price, but some kayak companies will actually ship a kayak to your house, free shipping. Well, I'd check that out, but you see, I always want to see something up close and personal. You know, a lot of people are online buyers. I want to sit in a kayak, because of the seats, and we'll get to that, the molded seats. Well, you're going to figure out the costs. Are you going to buy a 9-footer, a 1 or 2 man kayak, a 13-footer? So are you buying a touring kayak? Touring kayaks are the ones, a big cockpit that you sit in, or the sit-on tops. So they will vary in price. You need to take a look at the size, your size, the size of your family and friends, because, hey, I'm 5'11", decent size, man. But my nephew, I'll call him Little Wyatt, is 6'8". So you see, purchasing a kayak for Wyatt is different than purchasing a kayak for me. And we do have kayaks that Wyatt fits into, by the way. Now, what I love about kayaks is the ease of transport. Some of you that just have a regular car, little foam pads, put it on it. You need to be able to, again, you can YouTube anything, and they will show you how to tie them down safely, and safe is the key word on that. You can get roof racks for it. Well, in my truck, I've got the Thule system of racks, so I can put two kayaks, or my paddleboard, but we're talking kayaks right now, two kayaks above, and I can get two kayaks in the bed of my pickup truck. And so, hey, I'm going out somewhere, whether we're filming, whatever we're doing, and I can take a total, obviously, of 2 and 2 is 4, and I'm a math guy, so I can figure that out. Now, when you are loading your kayaks, your storage system, I actually have a huge workbench because I have a workshop next to my garage, but my workbench in there, I've actually cleared off and have two kayaks there. So I just back my pickup truck into the garage and literally slide to bang, bang, into, I don't go bang, bang, it's a little quieter, and I put them right into the bed of my truck. I also have a pulley system where I've got my largest kayak, which is 14.3 Carolina, and I'll talk to you about that in a second. And I've got a pulley system, and that's actually in the ceiling of the garage, and I just lower it down into the bed of the, or actually on the racks. And I also built a kayak shelf. They sell kayak racks, but I just built a shelf and I stacked two kayaks right on there as well. Now, you want to make sure that your seat is comfortable. And there are so many different types of seats for kayaks right now. One of my kayaks actually has an air pump where you sit on the seat, you open up this little air pump and you pump it up and you get it to conform to your butt and back. And that is really good, especially if you're going to be in there for a long time. Well, a lot of the kayaks have hard backs, but they're molded. So you want to find one that's right for you because, hey, they're all different. Hey, different people, different seats. And try them on, as I said before, with your PFD. Now, sit-on tops, they are perfect. And I'm going to give you an example of getting very young children into the outdoors. Because my niece Gabby, last year, first year out in the sit-on top with her, and we're on a flat water, nice, easy lake, and I've got Gabby sitting, so I just get my legs, long, big old long legs, sit Gabby between my legs, and I just reach around, and I paddle real slow. She's got her PFD on, I've got mine on, and I am telling you, she became the nature woman because I was able to take her up close and personal to so many different types of turtles, and she's a big birder, even though little gal loves her birds. We have a bird book in the back of my truck, and as we're traveling somewhere to adventures, she's always pointing out birds and checking them out. But anyway, I think it's important, you see, because now Gabby is large enough that next year we can get her into a 9-footer. So in the 9-footer, she'll be ready to go. And the only thing, again, it's with every child is, are they fit and strong enough? And part of learning how to become or becoming stronger is just to get out there and do it. Now, I did a rescue, not on purpose, but my good buddy Steve Oy talked about before with the John boat. Steve and I were out just for a paddle in the summertime on a big reservoir, and some guy makes a poor decision with, and I'm not going to, actually, there's a show on this rescue, so don't leave this show to listen to that show, but I speak about this rescue. And we were able to go out there, Steve, former Eagle Scout, and me doing all my outdoor water rescue. Well, we did a rescue out there in kayaks. So I want you to know that they are, because they are mobile, they can get to places. And one of the things they do, getting past the rescue, but just so you know that you can take extra gear with you because they have all the different ports that are waterproof ports. And anywhere I go, I always have first aid gear with me. I have a huge pack that's in my truck, in my backpack. And then I also have one that takes, you know, wherever I'm going. And with the extra gear, if you look at salt water or seawater, I'm a scientist, so I call it seawater. Guys that go in salt water, they actually put a milk crate on the back of their sit-on tops. And they've rigged them so many different ways. Well, in that large one that I have, it's a touring kayak, but I've attached a milk crate to the back of that 14.3. I can put my cooler in there, and I have a really like upright cooler that fits perfectly in there. So I can take food, attach fishing gear, other gear to the outside. I also have other ports to add things to. And that one has a rudder. And I'm going to let you know that if you're using a kayak with a rudder, another cost. But if you happen to live in a very windy area or you're on these big monstrous, you know, Finger Lakes, Great Lakes, I'm going to let you know that a rudder system is a great thing to have because they're actually controlled by foot pedals. Pretty cool. So I'm going to let you know that you might want to think about, you know, that, and that's another cost in it. But hey, think about the whole fleet of kayaks. We only have one with a rudder, but I wanted to make sure that we did have one. Now, my good buddy, Coach Gorski, who I spent a lot of time in the outdoors with, Coach has a club he calls the Upside Down Club. And his Upside Down Club are people that he's taken out personally in kayaks, and they have flipped over. So he has a certificate for them. And I'm going to let you know that I could sit in my kayak and sort of rock it side to side, and I've never, ever flipped over. And I have spent, I'm going to say, countless thousands upon thousands of hours in a kayak. But I've already had three people with me throughout history that have joined the Upside Down Club. So you need to always make sure that you're ready to make a rescue, always have a plan, always be safe. Now, one of the great things about the kayak that, and this is one of my reasons why it's a favorite, you can go into water that no other watercraft can go in. It can go in the skinniest water, and you're going to go in water that's like 2 inches deep, and the kayak could just like just glide straight through this. If you want to get to your favorite birding spot, you see, a lot of people, and I actually spoke at a, I'm trying to think here, I guess it was a canoe and kayak convention. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And the title of mine was Using Your Watercraft to Get to Your Destination. And for those of you that are fishermen, sometimes you're seeing a spot out there, maybe on an island, go, man, that would be a great place to fish. Well, how do you get there? And using your kayak to get there. Your birder going, if I can only get to that, well, your kayak gets you there. And I'm going to let you know that having extra gear in your waterproof bags, and they do make waterproof bags to put, and I always have those in my kayaks, well, actually in any of my watercraft. And actually, I like to put my lunch if I'm going with someone else. Say I'm going into a John boat or rowboat and I'm someone else's guest. Hey, water and food go with me everywhere. I am eating all the time. Now, but I also have, and you have to think about a purchase of water shoes. I use Teva sandals because my Teva sandals are just the perfect thing, because sometimes I'm getting out to walk on that island to go to fish, or we're filming from island to island, so I use Tevas. I do have some L.L. Bean boots, too. They're booties, and when you're getting into mucky areas, best to have towels, important to have, but the extra gear you should always have in your truck or your vehicle, whatever you have, and I'm going to say a change of clothes. I always bring extra things for other people because I don't join the Upside Down Club, but others have. So extra towels, extra food, extra water, extra clothing. To me, that's important. Now, let me give you another storage tip being at home. In my basement, so my workshop is attached to my garage. And if you go garage, workshop, and then into the basement there, I have a huge, you can imagine with all the outdoor gear we have, huge, huge area. And if you look at it, it looks like Tupperware Haven. And every Tupperware is monstrous, and they're different colors. And if I'm going kayaking, I can't even speak now, kayaking, I actually just pick up the big blue Tupperwares, throw them into the bed of the truck, and off we go, because I know all of my gear, my PFDs, are in that for kayaking. I've got one for fishing and one for biking, and the list goes on and on and on, because we use lots of things. Next thing. If your kayak is sticking out past your vehicle, unless you have a monstrous vehicle, most of them do, kayaks stick out, or your boats, or whatever, you need to red flag it. And what that means is attaching a red flag to the back of it so that some other vehicle can come and see that you have something longer than your vehicle on it. And I just recycle my old bandanas. I always have red bandanas. I have many color bandanas because most of them are camo, but I have red bandanas and I recycle those by using them as flags. I tie those. They tie very easily. And it's funny that I tie them, obviously. Say we're going kayaking for the day and I have to tie them on. We're done kayaking and I'm coming home. The bandana is on my kayak. And I just leave it on it because the next time you leave, what are you doing? You're loading the kayak in your truck. Your bandana is already on it, so it's already there. Another tip I learned from one of my buddies who lives at the ocean. Seawater, the salt in it, and there's 7 different types of salts, that will corrode everything. I actually spend the time, learn this from my buddy Rich, and I wash everything down when we're done with the journey. That's paddles, PFDs, dry bags, which are your, you know, waterproof bags, the dry bag. Everything that goes into seawater is absolutely washed down. And I'm going to let you know that this adds a half hour to an hour to the end of your trip. So you have to plan on that. But getting family members involved in understanding what it takes. For example, many times we'll end up at my parents' house. They live at the shore. My niece Gabby, I was explaining to you. And what we will do is get out there summertime. So it's a little summer fun. And getting her involved, and she's happy to either be, again, any little kid with a hose, and that could be dangerous, but any little kid with a hose, washing down or carrying the gear to the back of my parents' house where we let things dry out. So that's important to understand, that kids can see the whole cycle of, oh, this is what we have to do for family fun. Now, many of you always are tweeting me at Joey B, J-O-U-I-B-E, outdoors, and I love your questions, your comments. By all means, keep them coming. And until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeybee.tv. That's joeybee.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free, and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures.